Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. High Speed Web is with us today, as they are every day, providing our internet service 24/7, 365. And today, we have, let's see now, he's almost a legend. He's no longer a myth. He is. He just choked on that one. Dr. Greg Rutherford, who is the president of York Technical College. We get him on here probably on an annual basis just to tee up what's going on at the school. And gee whiz. If you have not been to York Technical College or you're new to our community and do not know anything about it, let me summarize it this way. Much of the growth that we have here in our community as far as job creation has a direct tie to the involvement of York Technical College and the programs that they provide all these different industries that need a trained workforce ready to go for them. I think that's pretty fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. So you've been
Sounds
here,
like you know something about it.
Been hanging around town just a few years. So you've been here 12, 13 years now.
Yeah, 13 years.
Tell everybody a little bit about you.
Okay. I grew up in a zip code west of Asheville.
In the mountains.
28715. And I ended up getting my associate's degree at a technical college.
Good.
And never in a million years dreamed that I would end up the president of one. But I did work in the community college system in North Carolina for almost 20 years before I had the fabulous blessing of being invited to Rock Hill, to York Technical College, for my first presidency in 2007. And I came, of course, I did get some other degrees, you know.
Along the way.
But my PhD, by the way, is from the University of Texas at Austin, which was a great experience, too. But came here in 2007. Don't know if I've ever told you this, Manning, or not, but my first day at the college, February 1, 2007, was probably the most significant snow that we've had since I've been here, and we closed my first day at work. So I'm really blessed to have, that things didn't go downhill from there.
That's great. So for those who, as I say, have not been there yet, you'll find it very easy to find. It's right there on Anderson Road. They got a beautiful new entrance there. I always liked driving by there and see those long, tall columns with your logo on the top of them. But tell everybody a little bit about the campus itself. How many students you got, faculty you got, how many buildings you operate, that kind of thing.
Yeah. The Rock Hill campus, which was which began in 1964. Of course, the work began prior to that, but the first building on the campus, the C building, which is now the Comporium Center, sponsored by Comporium, and a donation from them, was built and dedicated on my birthday, June 30th, 1964. And that was the beginning of the college. And there were numerous community and technical colleges opening up all across the country at that time. And so it's grown from that one building to, I don't know, maybe 18 or so on 120 acres. We will have around 8,000 students this year of one form or another, preparing them for specific jobs or helping them save a ton of money on their transfer to a university.
Or training them to go from job A to job B because it's a better job.
Sure. Yeah. Because as an example, that first year, 2007, we knew that we were sort of at the peak of a business cycle, but we didn't realize how close we were to the bursting of that bubble. But even before it burst, Springs sold out to the Brazilian company, and there were 2,700 employees that were laid off that first year that I was here. And of course, we help people like that, as you say, take the next step for a different career, and sure, it's a fabulous opportunity. We have about 500 employees at the college.
Okay. You know what amazes me is that more parents who have high school age children don't realize what York Technical College has as a step forward to a full four-year degree, if in fact that's what they're in the best interest of their child.
Right.
I've told you before, I sent both of my boys over to York Technical College years and years and years ago because, number one, I was not convinced that they were ready to go off on their own
right
to a four-year school.
Most aren't, if you're honest with ourselves.
And it was a great interim step. Sure. My deal with them was you come home with a 3.0 average, and we'll talk about 4 years.
Sure.
All right, and it worked.
Makes sense.
And the savings, I mean, in terms of dollars and cents, instead of paying $25,000 or $30,000 a year, you're going to pay $5,000 a year.
Yeah. You can save at least 50%.
Yeah.
Which, you know, by the way, you know, and, you know, nobody wants to sell themselves as the cheapest, but the reality is that across the country, technical and community college students who end up at a university perform, okay, statistically at or above the same level of the native students. And so we're all accredited by the same accreditor. We all have the same qualifications for our faculty in general ed. And as a matter of fact, a large number of our faculty teach at other universities part-time. So it's a wonderful opportunity for people. The average debt for a student in South Carolina is over $30,000 a year. And basically, families could save having to borrow that money if they wanted to get the first 30 to 60 hours at a technical college prior to transfer. And it may be that you would even discover that because we see many, many students come back to us after spending, you know, some time at the university saying, I wasn't ready for it. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I chose a program of study just because I knew I had to, but I need something different.
You know, when I was going through school, the big deal was to get a four-year liberal arts degree.
Mm-hmm.
Today, and I know we would have a debate about this with those in the higher education field, but today higher education is all about getting somebody ready for a specific job. Get them trained, find out what their interest is, get that interest developed so it's a marketable skill, and get them out there.
Well, if the family or the student just wants to go for an experience, then that's none of my business. But I would think most of them are going to be able to be independent and at some point interdependent with their parents and move on with their lives. But society puts a lot of pressure on people to conform. And if Susie and Johnny are doing something and, you know, you don't want to, there's the fear of missing out. And there's this idea that, you know, got to get away from home. But that's a pretty, only in a prosperous society such as ours at this day and age can afford to send their children off for a 4, 5, 6 year experimental life experience.
You know, when I think about modern manufacturing today,
sure,
I always go back to the opportunity I had to go down to see the GT Tire down in Chester. And I'll never forget the governor of South Carolina was there in his three-piece suit and his nice bright tie.
Right.
And they pulled him over and said, we want you to make a tire. And he sat there and hit the buttons.
Right.
And whatever, you know, a few minutes later, a brand-new tire was built.
Yeah.
And he could have had a tuxedo on and been there all day long.
Sure.
And it could have gone to the dance afterwards without ever taking a shower.
Right.
Because that's how clean manufacturing has become.
It's a spectrum. I've I can't even remember how many plants that I've toured. Of course, I grew up in manufacturing. My father worked in manufacturing at Square D Corporation for 35 years. He had his own business. I worked in that business. Both my younger brothers did. My son, my whole family's a manufacturing background. And there's tons of opportunity for people in that field. At one of, roughly 80 different programs, 85 different programs of study that we have that can connect you straight to the workforce, and there's significant demand, and there's sponsorship. There's sure. companies that want to help support.
But, you know, when you talk about societal pressure, the concept of, well, I don't want to go into manufacturing. Well, why not? It's all computer-driven. It's a very high-skilled job and pays a very nice salary.
Absolutely. Sure. And there's opportunity all over the globe.
Sure. Okay, let's talk more about what is going on at the school itself.
Sure.
You just, last week, I guess it was, opened the brand spanking new Ann Springs Close Learning Commons.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
You know, in the first library on campus is where the administration building is. I mean, the building that my office is in used to be the first library. But then a new library was built in 1992, and as usual, the Springs Close family was there to help support that. That library was named after Ann Springs Close. And now, these years later, we had a student center. A lot of colleges have a place where students can, like, relax, hang out, eat food, that kind of thing. But it was dated. We didn't have any real way of modernizing it without moving or shutting down. And we were thinking about how we could kill multiple birds with one stone, if you will, and get a cross-pollination of services in front of students. We want to continue growing our opportunity for student success at the college, and so we wanted to put advising, counseling, academic coaching and tutoring in a place where it was inescapable, where no one can make an excuse. I don't know where it's at. I don't know when it meets. And so we said, well, what can we do about that? And then what's the future of a library? Is it more books? Probably not. And so we decided, well, why don't we do all of that in one place? So we took that original building, built in 1992, and we stripped a lot of it off and kept most of it. And that was, at that point, about 20,000 square feet. We added about 12,000. We're up to about 33,000 square feet now, but we have a self-service cafe, which is a smart market, fresh food at a reasonable price for students. We then have a socialization area. We even have video games and we have a video gaming room with a PS4 and an Xbox. We have lots of computer access, high-speed Wi-Fi, internet, and then we have quiet study areas where students can study individually, or they can go into a conference room that's there for them. It looks like the nicest modern business facility you'd ever see in your life, but it's theirs. It's theirs to use. And just yesterday, I got an email from a student saying, thank you. And believe me, I rarely get that. I mean, it's not that people aren't appreciative, but you know how it is.
Sure.
I mean, most of the time, it's something negative that somebody is motivated. So the students are loving it. And it's a good opportunity to see your faculty member outside of class. There's something about being able to be part of a community that keeps students involved.
Yep. That's one of the things I always said that I missed out on, was not taking advantage of the open door policy that the professors had on certain days and nights of the week. Should have done it, didn't do it.
Right.
Can't go back.
Yep.
Now, to do this, it's part of your master plan that you developed years ago.
Right.
And where are you with that master plan?
We had some listening sessions when I came in 2007, and it was sincere because, you know, the tendency is for people to ask, what's your vision, what are you going to do? And it's kind of presumptive to do that without listening. And so we had internal listening sessions and external listening sessions and develop some strategic themes. But one of the things that came out of those discussions was the need for a solid master plan for the campus. And we had grown up around some issues. One, for example, is traffic,
sure,
parking, and modernization. And so we finished that in sometime in 2008. And Chad Williams, formerly county council, who now, as a matter of fact, is on our commission,
right,
has said several times, York Tech's one of the few entities that he's seen do a campus master plan and then actually follow through on it. So where we're at now is we're approaching the end of what we call phase one. Now, there's like three phases, but phase one was the piece that was most obvious and most current. And that included all the things that you've seen up to this point, but what's still being worked on, and it's going to be near, it's going to be completed this year, is the loop road around the campus, so that the center of campus is pedestrian friendly. There's no cut through traffic, no roads that slice through campus, no need for security to stand and monitor crossing of the road, that kind of thing. And and it will allow people to go completely around the campus, and there's going to be brand new signage and wayfinding so that people can better find where they need to be. All in all, it's going to be a big benefit for the institution.
Very quickly, phase two and three would be
primarily dependent on growth, because it's new buildings, and where through the master planning that we determine were the best potential for new buildings.
Okay. Well, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks for our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Of course, as the good doctor knows, we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical way we do it is right here on the white letters, and we all say it together at the count of three. So, one, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Everybody's got it. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Dividend AMP. Dividend AMP is the easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Dividend AMP today, and the dividends from your eligible interest-bearing accounts may qualify for Dividend AMP transfers. Log in to Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're helping you amp up your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All six of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there is only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company with 50 years of corporate support and 20 years of local presence. Only one company with 8 trained and certified water mitigation techs on call and ready to respond to your loss 24/7, 365. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place, enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI.
brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Greg Rutherford is with us, the president of York Technical College. Always an exciting story. And I remember, Doc, from previous programs we've done, that there was kind of always an opposite relationship between student enrollment and employment of the state of the economy. So here we are now with nationwide 3.5% unemployment, statewide about 2.5%. How's that impacting your enrollment, or is it?
It has impacted our enrollment negatively, and it because you're right, we are countercyclical. During the Great Recession, we were parking people on the grass. There was literally no parking spaces left on campus, and we don't have any reserved parking spaces other than the mandatory ones. And, as the economy gets better and better and better and there's more opportunities for people, their first choice isn't necessarily to go back and get more or different training and education.
Right.
And this has been the case all across the country, and not even for technical and community colleges, but for universities as well. As a matter of fact, the hardest hit of all of the sectors of higher education have been the for-profits, oddly enough. But that being said, we bucked that trend this fall, and we're bucking it now during the spring, where we're up, we've been up about 6.5% in headcount. And the primary influence on that is actions that we've taken to try to recruit older students, because the demographics have changed, and there's fewer younger people available. I mean, we're aging as a society, and that's only going to get worse for some period of time. So we went out and found people that had maybe been here up to 10 years ago and had a large number of credits in a particular program, and we designed a program to basically give them concierge-type services. Roll out the red carpet and invite them back and give them some scholarship money and create a support system for them. And lo and behold, we've had about 250 students come back to finish their programs of study. And most all of those are technical career-oriented, and so that'll be a plus for the local workforce.
So when you talk about scholarships, were these special dollars that came from?
From the state. Specifically for the issue of workforce.
Great. So you have this program that I think you call it Reconnect?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, so with that being said, here we are. We have an economy that is just on fire.
Yes.
Stock market is up today 175 points. We have the new China deal. We have the new NAFTA deal that is all signed today. So we don't see any indication, particularly in this region, that we're going to slow down.
Right.
So, I mean, this has got to present what I would call an ongoing challenge for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can only reconnect with so many students so many times, right?
Yeah.
I've already been educated, Doc. You can't help me anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, talk to me about the business. You know, we talk about the business parks we have here in York County.
Sure.
In Rock Hill.
And we're blessed.
We are blessed, and we're packed. We got lots of them. But, you know, I don't ever see any of the faces of those companies anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't see them hanging out here at Substation 2. I don't run into them at community meetings. I don't see them at council meetings, what have you. Do you see them connecting with you at the school? Except when they say, I need help with people?
Primarily. We could not. There's no way we could get enough positive, proactive engagement with business and industry. But it's the exception rather than the rule that we find that they want to get in deep in terms of drawing students and promoting their jobs, marketing their jobs to our students by, you know, various ways that we offer, like sponsoring students, allow us to present students to you, or help us recruit students into your field of study by offering them some kind of a scholarship or an apprenticeship at your facility. And we have some that do that, and the ones that do it are very successful.
And I would think, and I'm just drawing this out of the sky, when you take a local company like Emporium,
right,
which has been very involved with lots of basically everything in the community,
sure,
including York Technical College.
And they're doing this.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. They would be the example,
yeah,
of the kind of relationship that you wish you
Absolutely.
Could have with the other
Absolutely.
Industries.
For sure. 20% of Comporium's workforce attended some kind of a program at York Technical College. And they have ongoing training for like leadership, problem solving, things like an apprenticeship in their marketing fields, their technician fields with us. It's a fabulous partnership.
So I don't know how you go about getting all these industries that don't have the local relationship with the community that a company like Comporium has. It's been here for 125 years, but I guess that's a big challenge.
Well, we have I guess you could call it direct sales, but we're limited in that arena because it takes a lot of time and effort to knock on doors and see people and meet with them and work through their needs. But we do have that, and we welcome any opportunity.
All right, we only have a couple minutes left, so I don't want to lose track of the fact that you've just concluded your largest capital campaign ever.
That's right. When we opened the new Comporium Center about roughly 5 years ago, we announced the kickoff of a goal of $6.5 million for three specific areas: taking teaching and learning to the next level, preparing our faculty to be better at what they do to create greater student success. Secondly, to support our facilities and our master plan. And third, to support scholarships. And we just announced the conclusion of that, and we've raised $6.7 million.
It's amazing.
It's
really is amazing.
We're blessed.
The other thing, and I don't want this to get misconstrued, but you really have, you meaning York Technical College
right.
and your board of supervisors,
yeah, commissioners.
You all have been very good stewards with your dollars. If I remember right, and maybe this has changed,
right.
you've been able to do what you do out there with buildings and loop roads and what have you without going into a ton of debt.
That's right. We have, well, at least during my tenure, we've invested almost $30 million into our campus, and we do not have any debt. And the reason for that is that we're fairly lean. We look for opportunities to get leaner, and we save for specific projects and needs that are designated, and it can be equipment or it can be facilities or infrastructure. But we've been very fortunate to live off of our savings when it comes to those kinds of projects and not be, you know, always hoping and crossing our fingers that there'll be a bond bill because, you know, that's just not a way to manage your future.
Yeah, and with talk now with this $1.8 billion surplus that's coming into the state's treasury this year, part of the talk down there is that we're going to use it for capital projects for buildings that the state owns. Very quickly, you're not holding your breath on that one, are you?
There's lots of hands out.
Yeah.
Lots of mouths to feed. It's a feeding frenzy out there.
Well, Doc, we've run out of our half hour. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks.
Thank you for the work that you do. I tell you, moms and dads out there, trust me when I tell you, you need to give serious consideration to sending those kids on to their first dose of higher education, and they're going to need it. Right over to York Technical College. You'll save yourself a bunch of money, and you will help them out tremendously. And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, one more time here. Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes, Ben, 7 days a week. Let's tell everybody from the campus of Winthrop University and York Technical College how this done. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.